Good morning. Good morning. Broadcasting live from Whites of Westport. Me and producer Matt, we're having a good time here at Whites of Westport. Celebration of seniors. We do appreciate Tom Quinn putting this on year after year after year. And such a great event. Such all kinds of free stuff and all kinds of knowledgeable stuff. If you missed it, hopefully, as the departing district attorney, we got him certainly till January. Tom Quinn said anybody who comes after him would be a fool if they didn't continue. And I agree with him on that, not just because I broadcast here yearly, but also because it's such a great event. And the middle-aged people today are the seniors of the future. So someday you will be here with me on a celebration of seniors at Whites of Westport. Lot going on. One thing that's kind of interesting to me, Matt, producer, is that we had a number of people coming through, but a lot of them walked past without stopping by, political candidates. We saw Chris Markey. He knew enough to sit down and talk with us. We had a nice interview with him. But other candidates, they wear their button, they wave, and they just keep on going, not recognizing they, too, can sit down here at the table with us. But I'll give them an invite. I'll give them an invite. But there's a lot going on in the news that people need to pay attention to. Yesterday, while I was having my oil change, that's my joke for all my blood taken out of my body, cleansed and put back in at the dialysis clinic, they're nice enough on some days to give me a private room at the dialysis clinic. So I don't need to use headphones to watch the television, and I can talk freely and swear on the phone. In this little room that they give me, I had the television on, and I was watching the news, fielding telephone calls, getting the news of the day, and all of a sudden, I hear the city of New Bedford being talked about in the Oval Office by a number of people and President Donald Trump talking about the city of New Bedford. So here's what happened. You can find it online if you'd like. Yesterday, Donald Trump, trying to make America great again, recognizes the fishing industry is crucial to make America great again. There are two coasts. We've got the West Coast, who cares? But we do. We have the West Coast, and we've got the East Coast. Donald Trump was doing something for the West Coast fisheries yesterday, signing an executive order. He had a whole room of people from the fishing industry and the Department of the Interior, Department of Commerce as well, in the Oval Office. And it was one of those Trump-style freewheeling press conferences. President Trump, you know how we'll start on one subject, and where is he going? Who knows, right? So he's wheeling around. Next thing you know, he's talking about the Gulf of Maine, the lobster men in the Gulf of Maine, and the incredibly bad policies of Barack Hussein Obama and Joe Sleepy Joe Biden and the auto pen, right? The incredibly dangerous, ridiculous policies towards the fisheries that the auto pen and the radical left-wing Democrats made along with Barack Hussein Obama, and then what he was unwinding. Not only that, that some of the policies that Donald Trump had righted, made better, had been reversed by Sleepy Joe Biden and the cocaine in the White House, right? Donald Trump was now reversing those. And one of them that he was talking about was the Gulf of Maine. Now, all of a sudden, a New Bedford fisherman, seeing some blood in the water, seeing his opportunity, John Lees steps forward. He's in the room. He's in the Oval Office. How did he get there? Through the work, the hard work Bristol County, former Bristol County Sheriff Tom Hodgson. Tom Hodgson has been working behind the scenes to get the voice of the fishermen into the ears of President Donald Trump. And yesterday I saw some of that success play out on live television when a guy, I didn't even know who it was, but it was John Lees stepping forward in the White House to tell the President of the United States at his opportunity. Other people would have shrunk away, not John Lees. He stepped forward and said, "Do you know about New Bedford? I'm a scallop fisherman. We have the most important scallop fishery all being landed in the city of New Bedford. But our fishing boats have to sit dormant for most of the year." He made an incredibly pressing case to the President of the United States about New Bedford. And I heard the president say, "We're going to work on that. We're going to work on that." And he motioned to the people in his administration. Good morning. The people in his administration who can get executive orders, write them up and get them to him. The Interior Department, the Commerce Department. He had them all right there. And John Lees took his opportunity. He was in that room because of the hard work, the direct pipeline that Tom Hodgson has created to the President of the United States. But what I saw yesterday, with his name wasn't mentioned, so I'll mention it, was the hard work of Bristol County Sheriff, former Bristol County Sheriff, Tom Hodgson, on behalf of the economy of New England to the President of the United States. Created the opportunity, John Lees took it. And I do believe, very shortly, we will see the changes in policy that can come from the president's pen to benefit the scallop fishermen, the entire fisheries, therefore the entire economy of southeastern Massachusetts. Really an incredible day. You can find it by looking up on YouTube or wherever you get your videos. President Trump, Oval Office press conference, West Coast fisheries, but it was quickly taken over by the New Bedford fishermen to plead their case. It was really, really incredible. We're broadcasting live from Whites of Westport, courtesy of District Attorney Tom Quinn. By the way, make the safe choice this spring with Citywide Glass. Does your windshield have a big crack in your view? Did you wake up to vandalism overnight? Don't stress. Call the pros at Citywide Glass. They can repair or replace your auto glass while you're at home, at work, or even on the job site, or even while you're at a shopping center, even while you're at Whites of Westport for no extra charge. Life is busy. Let Citywide Glass make your glass repair easy. Citywide Glass, they're located in Dartmouth and in Fall River. Citywide Glass, make the safe choice. Visit citywideglass.net. We'll be right back. Stick around.
This portion of programming on WBSM is brought to you by D's Hot Dogs in New Bedford, where you can get two hot dogs, chips, and a soda for just $6.
South Coast Now with Chris McCarthy. Weekdays on 1420 AM and 99.5 FM. WBSM.
Good morning. Welcome back to the program. I'm Chris McCarthy. We're broadcasting live from District Attorney Tom Quinn's event here at Whites of Westport, a celebration of seniors. We've seen a lot of political people coming through. We interviewed Chris Markey earlier. Would have thought maybe his opponent, there's still time, but I would have thought maybe his opponent, Seth Aiken, would have been here as well. This is really the place to be. I saw Ed Pacheco, who's running to succeed Chris Markey. He was here. I saw Mr. Medeiros, who's running again to succeed Chris Markey in the State House. Both Democrats, they were here. A lot of people. Carol Fiola, state representative, we heard she was here. Just a marvelous event. And it's weird, right? Talking to the district attorney. He's a very cerebral, calm guy, family man. Yet just a few hours ago, he was looking at a person with a pitchfork stuck in the back of their head. Strange days indeed, right? Welcome to Fall River. Well, you'll get a... But I'm wondering, folks, many of us know about the Fall River cult murders, the demonic connection between the satanic cults and the murders. Do we suspect a satanic angle here on the pitchfork murder? In other words, when you see a pitchfork, you think of two things. Well, three things. One, that old farmer picture with a guy in overalls, right, with his hideous wife standing next to him. That dating app, like farmer dating or something. It's a dating app. The guy's got the pitchfork and it's like a dating app. I don't know how successful that is. But anyway, so you think of that. You think of maybe the Little Mermaid with her father's the Neptune with a trident, that three-pronged spear, and he's like living under the sea. That's one thing you think of. Or the devil, right? The devil with his pitchfork. Or poor Frankenstein being chased from the laboratory by the townspeople with their torches and their pitchforks. And now you think of a likely illegal alien jamming it into the brain of another likely illegal alien. Well, I don't want to besmirch the reputations of these gentlemen involved in the violent melee in the city of Fall River. After all, you are innocent until proven guilty. But it doesn't strike me as an American crime, right? Like, I've read a book, American Dream, by Norman Mailer, about a series of American-style murders that was assigned to me by the great Professor Waxler. American Dream by Norman Mailer. Personally, he was friends with Norman Mailer, who's now shed his mortal coil. But nowhere in that book about a series of American crimes do I remember a pitchfork. So that's why I'm saying, I think these were likely both the victims and the alleged murderer in Fall River were likely not American citizens, likely illegal aliens. Back to the phones here on South Coast Now. Good morning. Thanks for holding.
Good morning, Chris.
Hey, where are you? I thought you were going to be here.
I know I didn't make it because I couldn't sleep last night. It was so hot. I didn't put the AC in, and I only got a couple of hours. I was exhausted, so I couldn't make it this morning. I'm sorry, Chris.
Well, you disappointed not just me, but all the seniors of South Coast in Bristol County. But there's always next year. Hopefully there'll be next year.
Yeah, but anyways, I've been listening. So let me talk to you a little bit. I just looked up on YouTube about this, what you're talking about, right? And okay, it shows the news showing that where the house was, that where the area is. It doesn't look like a bad area. I don't know that street. And it shows the guy in handcuffs that did it, allegedly did it, and he's young and he has a big tattoo on his neck. Did you look at it? Did you see it?
I could have told you without you telling me that he likely had a neck tattoo.
A big one, and that must hurt. These people are sadists.
Not as much as a pitchfork to the brain.
Yeah, but you know what? They can carry that in the car, in their trunks, because these kids are violent today. And, you know, they're all in gangs and they're dealing drugs. And, you know, I didn't catch the whole thing on it, but it seems like the lawyer talking for him says that he did this in self-defense because they came to his house to allegedly hurt him. And he...
Yes, that's what I'm hearing.
Yeah, but I don't know the whole story, and I'm not understanding it. Now, the two that were in the car, somebody had a gun also.
Yes.
So I don't know the whole story. I guess it'll all come out. But it's a shame. And then I looked at everything else. You should see the everything happening around here and New Bedford and Fall River. People need to slow down. People are getting killed, pedestrians constantly. I heard we're not supposed to have oversized trucks in the city by the police. because I had somebody coming by with one where I live, and I called about it because they really smashed the sidewalk up, and they're dangerous inside the city. The cops told me that if the person keeps bringing the truck there, to call them up. They're not supposed to have an oversized truck in the city, whatever that means. So I don't know.
I agree with you. And I don't know. And like you said, everything will come out. But I find the pitchfork to be both exotic and disturbing. In other words, you've seen the pictures. Do you notice, like, any cows in the background? Are there horses, long sweeping fields of wheat? In other words, is it in a farm community? Why would there be a pitchfork?
No, it's a city, but in the city. But you know what? But think about it. The pitchfork has sharp points, and if they wanted to do somebody in, they can do it real good. I mean,
it's like a fork. Like a big fork.
Well, you know what? They did that on the olden days. They did stuff like that out in the farms. You know what I mean? If they were going to kill somebody. It's just like they do anything today, these kids. It's crazy.
Does it strike you like an American crime, or does it have sort of a foreign flair to it?
Yeah, foreign flair. But you know what? I was listening to Syndicate last night with Jennings, and I'm so upset with the Democrats. They lied. They let in 400,000 kids, Guatemalans, and they, in this country, have been let in, and they're trying to retract all this and get them out of here. But they lied and said that they blatantly lied straight out, and it was okay for the Democrats to say it was okay, and made believe they were related to get in this country, and the lies that went on, and now they're in here and they having sex with each other, and
the sodomy is incredible. What's going on to those poor kids?
It's awful what's going on. And
I agree with you.
And a lot of that is right around us, because unfortunately, because we have that lawyer that defends them here, and I don't know what to make of all this, but you know what? It's scary. They're saying not to worry about it, but I mean, it's all around you. It's awful.
Well, look at the fact that we're bringing the World Games here, right? The big soccer matches. And the big thing, apparently, is that you can get human trafficked. That along with these traveling soccer teams, apparently are gangs of human traffickers. I saw the Democrat lieutenant governor, the very capable, although seemingly less so now, Kim Driscoll, explain that they had to spend a lot of state money to stop these gangs of sex traffickers that apparently travel around with the soccer teams. Why are we inviting people to play a stupid game like soccer if also they can sex traffic people?
Where's that going to be anyway, that game?
What they've now called Boston Stadium. Although if you go to Boston, you won't see it because it's in Foxborough. But apparently we've got to change the names of everything to accommodate the soccer and the traveling sex gangs as well.
It's crazy. It's not funny, but Chris, people need to slow down, and they don't pray. You know, they don't want to hear about God. They don't pray like
they don't pray, but like, they will prey upon you as a sex trafficker. P-R-E-Y, not P-R-A-Y.
You're too funny.
Thank you for laughing. I do appreciate it. Have a good morning. Have a great weekend. 508-996-0500. You know, you got a big bank, a big amount of money just rusting in your yard. Turn that junk car into cash today. Very easily. Let's just listen to me. I'll explain to you what you got to do. It's literally a phone call away. At Mid-City Scrap in Westport, we pay top dollar for complete vehicles. Understand, Mid-City Scrap, they got a bunch of cash. You got a junk car, they want to trade it. It's really cool. Mid-City Scrap, we pay top dollar for complete vehicles. Very easy. Pick up the phone. Tell them what you got. Got a small car, $400 to $500 in cash. Mid to large size car, $500 to $600 in cash. SUV, up to $700 in cash. Full-size truck, $800 in cash. And SUVs up to $700. No games, no waiting, just cash. Very easy. Call Joe, Johnny, Mark, or Doug. 508-675-7831. That's easy enough, calling Joe, Johnny, Mark, or Doug. 508-675-7831. Mid-City Scrap, cash for junk cars. State Road in Westport. We'll go back to the phone. Good morning. Thanks for holding here.
Good morning, Chris. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Good, Chris. And I was trying to call in earlier because that was a question I wanted to ask District Attorney Quinn about. Because when I saw the arraignment for those couple of seconds of that person who this supposedly that gruesome double murder, I saw a young man. Well, first thing that came to me, he was off. I don't care about the tattoos. I saw a young man, but right away, I saw the headphones go onto his head. So I said to myself, a young man can't speak no English at all. So, okay, he's not born in this country. My other question that came to my mind, if a person did that heinous crime, that violent, he probably has a history. It wasn't something that came out of the blue. So he probably has some kind of criminal record. Is it a criminal record? Has he been arrested in Massachusetts before for maybe not so serious crimes and then released? Other question was, has ICE been notified if he is illegal? Because I thought we were supposed to get rid of the criminals. Because chances are he's a young man, don't speak a word of English, and if he has any criminal background, he wouldn't come here legally because you're not allowed to come here legally if you have any kind of criminal background. So in that 10 seconds I saw that, I summoned that. Yes, I did profile. I profiled all that, and I said to myself, yeah, it's true. And I said to myself, he's young, doesn't speak a word of English, probably has some kind of criminal record because the person to reach that point has done crimes before. That's a heinous crime. So if he's not here legally, so he's definitely here illegally because anyone with a criminal record at that age wouldn't even be allowed into this country. So my question is, has he been arrested before and released? Okay. And the other question is to Quinn. That's what I was trying to get in touch with. I want to speak directly to him. My question is, if he's illegal, has ICE been notified? Simple question. Because I thought we were supposed to get rid of the worst of the worst. That's what the Democrats are okay with, right? That's what they tell us all the time, that they're okay with that. I guarantee you, Chris, I will be shocked if this individual wasn't arrested multiple times for maybe other stuff, knowing he was illegal and released, and now it's a heinous crime. It kind of reminds me of that crime of the poor young nurse student who got raped and bludgeoned to death with a rock. Remember that in Kentucky?
Yes, I do remember that.
The cobblestone.
It has a foreign flair to it, doesn't it?
You know, to take all jokes aside, there's something about...
No, I'm serious.
Yeah, it does. It does, because it's very gruesome. It's very violent. It's a third world country kind of murder.
Yes.
That's what it is.
That's what I'm thinking. Thank you for saying it. Because, listen, like I said, I grew up in Freetown, spent the summers in Fairhaven. I don't own a pitchfork. I remember being around him a little bit, but who knows how to wield a pitchfork such that they can pierce the skull? I mean, not easy.
It's a third world country crime. It truly is, because our society, we do have psychopaths and stuff like that, but not like you see in third world countries, the type of crimes constantly you see in third world countries. So that and the last thing is, I know Maki's running for district attorney. So as candidate Markey, he has a big strike against himself. He voted for the Safe Neighborhood Act that protects these illegal aliens, supposedly like this gentleman who just got arrested. So one strike against Markey already.
And you're a Dartmouth voter.
And listen, I'm looking at the Republican candidate. I cannot. It's going to be hard for me to vote for him. And I like Markey. He's done some good things. But I can't vote for him now. It's very hard. He voted for the Safe Neighborhood Act. He voted for the same thing. Luckily, we could only be so lucky that my child or your children ain't at the wrong place at the wrong time as some wacko illegal alien because of the Safe Neighborhood Act is out here in the streets, and because of that, my child gets raped or murdered. Then what?
Or worse, gets a pitchfork through their brain.
Yeah, and then what do you get? Oh, I'm sorry for your loss. You could take that sorry and shove it where the sun don't shine because that could have been avoided.
Thank you for the call, my friend. Have a great weekend. 508-996-0400. Look, I think that that's going to be a bit of a deficit for Chris to, because he's in the herd up there, all the Democrats. You got to go along to get along for your district. Although I will say that Chris is a very moderate voice on criminal justice issues among his radical colleagues. As he pointed out here, in sort of a glad I'm leaving the legislature type of a voice, he said, I try to explain to him with all his prosecutorial experience and, by the way, his knowledge of criminal defense subjects, right? In other words, he knows criminals as well. He's defended some of them. With all his knowledge, the do-gooder liberals in the Democrat Party that we have elected ignore his experience and run along with their own communist ideas, quite frankly, which add to only chaos here in the Commonwealth. The pitchfork, again, I am, no pun intended, stuck on it. It is such an exotic weapon, and who knows how to wield a pitchfork unless you've been a migrant worker, maybe, working in the, do they use pitchforks, Matt, to pick strawberries? I don't know. Do they use them to pick cranberries?
I think they have a special tool to comb. There is a pitchfork. Yeah, for like cranberries.
Yeah.
But I don't know anything about strawberries, but I know cranberries.
So maybe this guy,
rake. Yeah.
If he is in fact an illegal alien, maybe he's a near-to-well cranberry picker, because those tools that they use do resemble a pitchfork. They have like little forks on them, barbs. I don't know.
I mean, yeah. I think the pitchfork sort of thing that you're thinking of for like cranberries and fruit and that, I think they're probably a little less.
If you have
strong.
Any knowledge of pitchfork usage, where is Attorney Aaron Burke? He grew up in Lakeville. He used to do the hay on Maxim's farm. Derek Maxim, Aaron Burke, where are you? Call us. You know the VIP number, Aaron. Call us and tell us what you know about pitchforks and the sort of strength it takes to wield them. Because to pierce a skull, you saw the district attorney, a veteran criminal prosecutor, clearly shaken by the violence that he witnessed. 508-996-0500. Back to the phones. Good morning. We're broadcasting live from Whites of Westport. You're on the air.
Hi, Chris.
Hey, what's happening?
Not much. Hey, did you see the thing about the guy in Belfast that they tried to behead him? Some illegal aliens
tried to... Yeah, I'm just glad Hugh Dunn was not in Belfast, that he was here in Boston. It's crazy. The invasion of Ireland...
Right. How bad you have to be to scare people from Belfast who have been, you know, fighting for 60 years or something, and you're going to try to behead one of them? That's crazy.
It's really sad when the people of Belfast are so intimidated by the Muslims invaders. Right? Maybe we can learn something from Ireland.
Yeah, well, I mean, they got to see that these are... Like they said, these are not good people that came here, a lot of them. Some of them are, but a lot of them are not. And we've got to get them out of here because this is the kind of thing they do. And if you happen to be in their way, if they happen to be drinking and driving, or they happen to be, you know, pedophiles or...
Pitchforking around.
Pitchforks or beheading people. You don't know what's coming next. This is crazy. We got to get them out of here.
We've got to get him out of here. I do agree. Thanks for the call, and thanks for the contribution to the program. By the way, I'm told that Chris Markey never voted for any of those bills that one of the previous callers said he did. I don't have all the details. I'm just going off what people are texting me. I think we're going to – we'll take that call. Good morning. Thanks for holding. You're on the air. Hello, you're on the air.
Listen, buddy. Pitchforks are used by landscaping also to, you know, shovel mulch into mulch beds.
Oh, good. You're right.
You know what I mean? And I'm one of those guys that know how to use a pitchfork.
Thank you for the call. Thanks for the information. He's right about that, actually. I think back on my youth, my properly spent youth, landscaping, and I did use a pitchfork. I do remember that now, actually. Thank you for the reminder. All right, I see you on hold, and I want to speak with you, but we've got to take a break. Live from the District Attorney's event here at Whites of Westport. We'll be right
back to Chris McCarthy and South Coast Now on WBSM. Call 508-996-0500.
Good morning. Good morning. We're celebrating senior citizens here with the District Attorney, Tom Quinn, at Whites of Westport. By the way, we had Chris Markey, District Attorney candidate, in. Look, I've looked at the history of District Attorney races. I can make a prediction right now that I think Chris Markey will be elected, but there's still a long campaign to go. But should Chris Markey be elected? Actually, if Seth Akins wins, either way, one of these two gentlemen ought to really think about hiring attorney Hugh Dunn to run their drunk driving unit, okay? Their DUI unit. Do you remember Franklin Delano Roosevelt, that great president of ours, even one of Reagan's favorite? Who did he hire to run the SEC, the Stock Exchange Commission? Who did he run? He hired Joe Kennedy Sr., a famous stock market swindler. You got to hire a crook to catch a crook. So I say bring in Hugh Dunn to run DWI drunk driving programs in the Bristol County District Attorney's office. Hire a crook to catch a crook. That is what I recommend to both Chris Markey and Seth Akins. It's here on the air. Hire a crook to catch a crook. Make us safer. Make us safer. Bring in attorney Hugh Dunn to run the DWI unit. And also prevent Benadryl poisonings. Benadryl poisonings. All right. Back to the phones. Producer Matt. Good morning. Thanks for holding.
Yeah, Chris. When I was out in Nebraska, in the shadow of Chimney Rock, and the cattle were in the feedlot, I'd have to grab the pitchfork and shovel some alfalfa into the feed trough so the cattle could eat. So, yes, well-versed with a pitchfork.
And with a handgun.
And with a handgun and a rifle and a machine gun.
What about a cobblestone?
Yards. Yes. But,
what about a that was the other weapon here,
Chris,
a cobblestone.
World War II.
Yes.
American airmen who parachuted into Germany after the aircraft was shot down. There are many accounts that the bodies were found later that the airmen had been killed with a pitchfork because a farmer had taken exception to an American airman because they were bombing the hell out of the place. So, yes, they've died by pitchfork.
That's very interesting, Don. Doesn't this crime in Fall River have a foreign sound to it, a flair to it? Doesn't strike me as a regular American crime.
Yeah, no, there's something here. I mean, using a pitchfork to kill somebody, I could see whacking them with it, knocking them out or something, but why was it necessary to kill him, and why was it necessary? Did he show up with a pitchfork, or, again, as you stated, was the pitchfork available and was just a weapon of convenience?
Yeah, that's going to be all. In other words, the defense attorney, again, everybody's innocent until proven guilty. The defense attorney is already making public statements that this was a case of self-defense. And, you know, it very well may be. We don't know.
Well, wait a second. Self-defense means that you just use the pitchfork to stand them off. if the guy's down on the ground, you don't stab him in the back of the head. That's not self-defense.
Well, again, it's a lawyer saying it, so consider the source.
Understood. Hey, one quick thing about the Anthony case out there in Texas. The kid who showed up at the tent unannounced, he had a multi-tool on him. In other words, it's like a pair of pliers, Chris. And in the handle, various implements. When he showed up at the tent, he'd already had the knife blade exposed and the handle closed back together, ready to use, because otherwise it would have been in the pouch. The best he could have done is maybe hit him with it. But if he stabbed him in a moment's notice, he already had the knife blade exposed, which to me shows intent and premeditation.
Yeah, I agree with you, Don. I didn't realize that it was a multi-tool, a Leatherman type thing, which, you know, has pliers. Actually, the dominant is the pliers on it. You do have to work to get the knife blade out. That's a very interesting observation. I appreciate that, Don.
All right, Chris. Thank you, guys. Adios.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Maybe that's why the people down in Texas didn't riot. I know people were looking forward to that. I was glad they did not riot. Nothing I hate more than watching urban unrest on, you know, YouTube for hours and hours and hours. I hate having to do that. So I'm glad the people of Texas decided not to riot. By the way, this hour is brought to you by the cold beer and the world's best chicken wings at Rose Alley Ale House in downtown New Bedford. If it was in Newfoundland, it'd already be noontime. You could be enjoying the deck. Fortunately, it's not. It's in New Bedford. And you can enjoy the deck all weekend long. The chicken wings, I like the steak tips there. Love the onion rings. Sadly, an Irishman like me cannot eat potatoes like I used to. I cannot eat French fries like I used to. By the cartload, I can no longer do that. So onion rings are my my side of choice, or rice pilaf, or whatever. Anyway, check out Rose Alley Alice. Go down there, have some fun, make some mistakes. Leave your wedding ring in the glove compartment. Do whatever you want. Have fun. We'll see you back here. Not here at White's of Westport, but we'll see you back here on the radio on Monday. God willing, I'll be back. We got a couple of more minutes here. Happy to take your calls at 508-996-0500. You cannot miss Timmy Dunn's reporting in the Boston Herald this morning, particularly if you have a state pension, if you worked, well, kind of worked, for the state of Massachusetts, if you have a pension that Governor Healey has any control over, I feel really bad for you, because she is making a move to use your pension funds to give out, in quote, economic development grants. Tim Dunn has the whole story, including the letters of objections sent by the normally Democrat leaders of the union to the candidate they elected. Many of you voted for her too, including me, Governor Healey, who wants to take the pension funds of workers from the state of Massachusetts and invest them in her schemes for economic development, deals that no private sector development likely would get involved in, right? She's going to take your captured funds and channel them to her DEI and likely DEI, Green New Deal type investment schemes. Are you happy about that? Does that make you feel better or worse about your pension funds? Maybe you'll be looking at a Republican governor as an alternative. Maybe a Mike Minogue or a Brian Shortsleeve. By the way, Brian Shortsleeve worked in private equity, taking funds and investing them for profits and returns of people who retired. So might want to look at a Brian Shortsleeve or a Mike Minogue as opposed to a Governor Healey. We'll be right back. Stick around. Welcome back to the program. Boy, this place empties out quick. Here, we're at White's of Westport, courtesy of Tom Quinn, the district attorney of Bristol County. What a great event. full of senior citizens. Boy, they make a quick escape, though. I got to tell you, when the free stuff runs out, the seniors are out of here pretty quick.
As soon as the vendors stopped giving away stuff, they hit the road pretty quick.
They were out the door. They were out the door. The race for governor continues, and the Republican primary continues on, and a lot of really important issues being talked about. But again, I encourage everybody to watch the groundbreaking press conference by Donald Trump yesterday on West Coast fishing that brought up the discussion of the New Bedford fishing community, scallop fishing, brought up by John Lees to the President of the United States in the Oval Office. It was really an important conversation. Now, as we start into the summer, a lot of people looking for summer reading lists. Someone asked me yesterday, what do I recommend for a book? And what I told him was Atlas Shrugged. You cannot go wrong with Atlas Shrugged. Now, by Ayn Rand, when you pick it up, it's a big book. Now, maybe that's not the first of her books to start out with. I would recommend to start with a book called The Virtues of Selfishness. Okay? When I first saw it, way back when I was a senior in high school, I recoiled at the horror of that title. Selfishness? Nobody likes selfishness. But Ayn Rand's The Virtues of Selfishness. It's a collection of essays. Then The Virtues of Capitalism. Then you want to go with Anthem. Anthem is a little book, very entertaining novel, so entertaining and so informative that the rock group Rush named their record company Anthem. They named their production company Anthem in honor of Ayn Rand. Then from Anthem, you want to pick up We the Living. We the Living by Ayn Rand is an autobiographical book about her childhood and adolescence in Soviet Russia. She escaped the Bolsheviks and made it to the United States. Then maybe you'll be ready for Atlas Shrugged. And you might want to read The Fountainhead as well. That's a summer of reading, all by Ayn Rand. You'll be a better person for reading those books. And more like me, really. Everybody I ever recommended, who followed it up and actually read the books, are all more complete people for having read Atlas Shrugged. You can also see the movie starring New Bedford's own Bob Schilling, who used to work at the DA's office, whose daughter is in the first installment of Atlas Shrugged. The very beautiful, very talented Taylor Schilling is the star of the first installment of Atlas Shrugged. Anyway, and also Don't Stop the Carnival by Herman Woke, another great book for the summer. Don't Stop the Carnival by Herman Woke. All right, so I'm going to continue the carnival now. Hopefully you have a great weekend. God willing, I'll be back on Monday. Stick around for Barry Richard and the great Howie Carr. Have a wonderful week.